pray for all that we have accomplished together, that we are at the point of, as a congregation, of having worked through a season and come to a new starting line of sorts. And that's actually kind of part of what this signifies, is a new starting line, a time of moving forward together with a common vision, with a common goal, with a common purpose that we believe God has given us as a community. Because we recognize that as individuals, we have all sorts of energy and passion and things that we really care about, and those are good. But if all we do is by ourselves, the impact that we have is always going to be confined. But when we actually come together as a body of believers, when we come from many different places, from many different experiences, and we come to one place under God's guidance and God's leadership, and we say, God, what will you have for us to do? How can we respond to the grace you have shown to us? And we pray together, and we seek together, and we learn together that God actually pulls us together. And that in community, God can do something greater than He can do with us alone. Because we were designed for community from the very, very beginning. It's in the beginning of creation. The very beginning of how everything came to be. The story that God gives us is that God, in God's self, was already in community. That this notion of Father, Son, Holy Spirit has always been. That Jesus coming to us is the Son coming to earth to live and move among us. But Jesus was from the very beginning. God has always been in community, has designed us for community. And sometimes we don't do community so well. Right? Sometimes we don't do a very good job of being together. And there is a huge movement going on in our culture, and actually globally right now, of can we divide and just kind of group together with people who are a lot like I am. History has proven over and over again that you do that long enough, and the only person you can stand to be with is you. I heard a quote this morning on the radio as I was driving here that I thought was interesting. And the author was reading an excerpt from a book that she had written. And she read this excerpt. She said, there are two kinds of people on this planet. There is you and there is everybody else. And what she was trying to say in that is that each and every one of us are individuals. And this notion of trying to group together into these smaller factions, which involves dividing apart from others, is in itself silly. Because each and every one of us is uniquely made by God. Each and every one of us is uniquely created, uniquely gifted, uniquely passionate about things. But that is not a reason why God created us to be apart. In fact, that is in itself the reason why God created us to be together. The reason why God pulls us together. And in this day of celebration, I want to point out to you what joy it has been for me to be with you. And every time that we gather, every time that we worship in this place, I am renewed in my conviction of what community can be when I see people from different backgrounds, from different cultures, with different skin colors, with different political beliefs, with different practices and different ideas, coming together in one spot and saying, I love you. I love you so much. And not just because God loves you, but also because God loves you. And in this place, the Spirit, there is something going on. And I believe in my gut that we are in a season for the church. And by that, I simply mean we are in a season where the church is so desperately needed. And I don't mean the church as an institution. I don't mean the church as a brick and mortar location where people can come. I mean the church as a testifying community to another way. That there is a third way to be. That God has invited us to not instead be divided by things that we're against, but be to be united by what we are for. To rally around those kinds of things. We have spent a little over a year together working at some of these things that hold us together. To greater understand some of the things that often go unsaid among us. We started out our time together with identity. From there we moved into trajectory, where we're going. And now we're kind of arriving at this place of activity. What are we going to do with this thing? And everything has been building up. We started with identity, not so that we could put a notch in our belt of saying, well, we listen to everybody's stories. But instead, we started with this as a foundational way of understanding our community. We are many different stories, and each story matters. But as these stories are woven together, your story matters, but it's not the only story. And your story matters, but it's not the only story. And we begin to pull all of these various stories together, and we start to see sometimes there's an even bigger story being told that is pulling all of our individual stories together. Telling our stories, testifying to one another of our experience, of what brought us here, of what keeps us here, is not simply an exercise to do so that we can get it done, but it is a reminder. It is a season of remembrance of why we are here and actually what we communally have to offer the world beyond this community. Are we a community that exists unto itself, for ourselves, so that we can gather together here once a week and feel good? We can remind ourselves that we all love Jesus and that that's enough. Or are we a community that gathers together in the midst of struggle, in the midst of challenge, in the midst of good times and bad, joy and hardship, celebration and heartbreak? And that God pulls us together that we might, as a community, speak to something larger than us. Testify to a community that is cut off, that is isolated, that is angry, that is fragmenting. And show, invite, a third way of being. A way that Jesus Himself embodied and revealed and called us to follow in kind. It sounds like a pretty tall order, doesn't it? To follow in the footsteps of Jesus. To try to be a Jesus community. To try to be that place where the kinds of values, the kinds of emphasis that Jesus put on, we might also put on. Because that in itself is a discipline of saying no to so many other things. If we're going to say yes to Jesus and who Jesus invites us to be, we're saying no to a whole bunch of other stuff. It requires a focus. It requires intention. Because what we're doing is responding to grace. We have to remember how we've received it. We got to remember how God has loved us, and we have to live from that place instead of all everything else going on around us all the time. This thing of community is hard, hard work. And so we spent some time together talking about where we're going. What's the trajectory of this place? Where's God taking us? And in order to know where we're going, it helps to know where we are. And so we invested in a little bit of time, looking, searching around us. We learned all kinds of strange things, right? Charlie Bobs, who knew, right? If you don't know what Charlie Bobs is, it's right over there. There. Many of us didn't know because we have a tendency to get blinders on. And not just to the shopping plaza that's over there. We get blinders on to the people who are right next to us. We get blinders on to the opportunities God has surrounded us with. We get single-minded in what we want or what we care about, and we can so quickly lose sight of what God may be doing. What God may be inviting us to be about. And so we pause and we look. And we'll have to look again. Often. We might have to just embody a lifestyle of looking. Of having our eyes open. Of seeing new things. So that we might, as a community, step in to the invitations God's setting before us. But after this work that we had done together, we spent time in prayer and in discernment, asking how God might be leading us forward. And the answer that seemed to come and resonate as we met together and prayed together and sought counsel together was that God was leading us forward in a very similar way to how God led us together. That this is, in itself, a community of passionate Jesus followers who understand how loved we are, who are seeking to understand it even more, who come from very diverse backgrounds and are brought to this place and stay in this place because of relationship, because of how we've come to know each other, because of how we've cared for each other. And through discernment and prayer, we've kind of realized that that's what we have to offer. That the very thing that drew us here and the very thing that keeps us here is the very thing we have to offer to somebody else. A community of compassion, of kindness, of mercy. A place where you can belong as you are and can also be challenged to walk with Christ, which is hard for all of us. A place where we can receive grace and give it. A place where we can come to know mercy and offer it. A community that's really revolving around the relationship we have with Christ and how we share loving relationships with one another. Responding to the situations around us with the same kind of grace God responded to us with. Mercy, kindness, patience, humility, diversity, brought together in one place with one people. We were designed to be one people long before we were worried about borders or nations. Or God calls His people. And as we fragment, God pulls us back together, invites us back together. So then the question for Fairhaven, I think, is if God is in the business of bringing that which is far off close again, of bringing that which has been divided and separated together, if God is in this business of unifying that which has been segregated, then how may we as His people in this place celebrate that, build upon that, participate in that? I want to read to you this morning Acts chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 36. Now, this is kind of a strange place for me to pick up, because the beginning of the book of Acts starts with Jesus meeting with the disciples to proclaim His resurrection and His ascension into the heavenly realm. And then His instruction to His followers to wait for the Holy Spirit. And they do. And when the Holy Spirit comes, there's this amazing thing that happens. All the people, even though they come from different places and different backgrounds and different languages, they all start speaking in a way that they can understand each other. There is this incredible unifying thing that happens. And people who are from all far off different reaches find themselves in one community where they hear each other, they understand each other, and they're celebrating God's love together. And the people who didn't quite know what were going on was standing around, and they actually thought they'd been drinking too much. They actually thought, these people are drunk. And Peter testifies, and he's like, no! This is gift from God. This is what God has always been about, this kind of thing, bringing people together. And I want to pick up in verse 36, after there's been kind of this sermon, if you will, we're kind of picking up mid-sermon. It says this, it says, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. the promises for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. I want to pause there for just a second. Throughout this good book, there's a number of places where we end up with language about this current generation and the evils of this world. And as we've all experienced, there is plenty of evil to go around in this world. But what had just happened is important. Context. What happens before and what happens after is always incredibly important. What is happening in this body is a unifying and a bringing back together of people who had been far off. And words from Peter of inclusion, of bringing people back together. So this word of warning of the corruption and evil of this world is a statement of reality and not necessarily a statement of division. It is not an encouragement to push away, but instead a willingness to see and to recognize things in this world which break apart and divide and conquer and want to dominate. And none of that brings healing. None of that brings health. There's opportunities around us all the time to foster destruction, isn't there? And yet, there's pleading here. Be about construction. Be about building something together. Be about that which lifts up, not that which pushes down. Because there will be infinite opportunities to go the other way. Be a community that's about something different. Those who accepted his message, who decided, yeah, let's be about life. Let's be about life. Let's be about community. Let's follow this Jesus. They were baptized. About 3,000 were added that day. Yeah. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the beginning of the church. The church finds its being in diverse community, being brought together through the unifying Spirit of Christ, and finding their purpose in multiplying grace and joy and peace. A group of people who, flawed and broken, just as we are. Mixed up and confused, just as we are. Argumentative. Persecuted. Confounded. Right? These are people who lived in a complicated world. Just as we live in a complicated world. But in the Spirit of Christ and in the midst of their community, the Scriptures say they discovered joy. They discovered joy in being together, in what God was doing among them. They found purpose. They found calling. And their calling wasn't a goal. It wasn't something that we need to convince or we need to accomplish. It was, we need to respond faithfully. We need to control what God has given us control of. To not be distracted by that which wants to tear down, but to be attracted to that which wants to build up. To be drawn together and to hold to that. I want to testify among you that it is a rare thing to find a community that can hold to this. It is a rare thing to, as a collective people, set aside the things that long to tear us apart and cling to the things that hold us together. It is a rare thing for that community to then live beyond itself and not become an inwardly focused group, but instead to always be radiating, to always be overflowing and sharing. But this church that we read about in Acts that's established, it says that God was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. Being saved from destruction, being saved from sin itself, being saved from separation and isolation, and instead being brought into this ever-diversifying community. The more that comes, the more the diverse it becomes. One big jumbled mess, right? Thriving in joy because they were focusing on what was building up instead of what was tearing down. You as a community are brought together in diversity. You have eyes that see hurt and brokenness around you. And you recognize how important God's care for you and your care for one another has been to your spiritual health, to your spiritual being, and ultimately to your calling and purpose. And you are invited to allow that to overflow, to bless others. As you have been blessed, so go and bless. As you have received forgiveness, go and forgive. As you have received mercy, offer it freely. Now here's where the kicker comes. You won't find too many communities of faith that would argue with any of that. It is a difficult thing to continue to practice it. And I want to challenge you today to not just arrive at a place where you intellectually agree, yes, we are diverse, yes, we're together, yes, we care about each other, yes, we follow Jesus. But instead to allow the commitments you make, the actions you take day by day by day, to live into this faith that you hold so dear. To express the belief that you have, and when necessary, use words. But to have an action, to have a being that proclaims the goodness and joy that God is creating among you all the time. To live in such a way that it is inviting and intoxicating to be around. The kind where you're joyful, where people look in and say, they must be drinking in there. Do you see how much fun they're having? Do you see the joy that's there? They're not focused on everything tearing them apart. They're focused on what's building them up. That's what happened when the church was first formed. That's the invitation to you as Christ's church to live out this faith which God has so deeply planted within you. To cling to these things that God has used to bring you together and form you and create community. And to be willing to allow it to overflow. To keep it in front of you. To insist upon it. When everything else speaks to the contrary. To recognize what is good. To proclaim it. You do not need anyone's permission to be a faithful, joyful Christian community. You do not need any government leadership. You do not need anyone's permission. You have the invitation of Almighty God to faithfully live out the grace you have received, to be His community, to be His people, not just for yourselves, but for all creation. The world, our state, our city, desperately needs healthy community, healthy relationships, respect, dignity, kindness. And it is within your being to multiply that, to grow that, to participate in this good work that God is doing. I have so enjoyed working with you through this process. I know that it has maybe been tiresome for some and almost basic for others. But we have arrived at a place as a community together, focused, intent, ready. And now we move. As we move forward, may we do so in joy. May we remember who God is, what God has done, and celebrate it daily. I want to invite you to pray with me, and then much of the founding of the early church, as it said, that they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, to communion. In communion itself, and as you've heard me say before, there is this act of remembering and this act of looking forward. Communion is this reuniting of the story of what God has done and the story of where God is leading us to go. This bringing together of community. In our act of communion, we're celebrating what God has done and committing to what God has ahead for us. So how fitting for a day like today. Let us pray together, and then we will partake. Gracious God, You are amazingly faithful. Despite all of the ways that we stumble and fall, despite all the ways that we end up focused on self, instead of celebrating Your love and grace and being willing to share, despite all the ways that we continue to struggle, O God, You are patient with us and kind. You have loved us with an eternal love. You have blessed us with an eternal grace. And You have called us with this beautiful purpose that the life we live in response to You deeply matters. That the ways that we love each other, in that is power and potential and kingdom. And so we pray, God, that Your kingdom may come among us, in us, that You may guide us and lead us, that we might have eyes to see You, ears to hear You, hands to serve You, feet that follow You. Almighty God, we ask that You would watch over us as You have drawn us together in community. So may we go forth. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.